Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it. Up to $2,000 in value for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.
Hi, I'm Thomas Senna, co-host of the SNL Hall of Fame podcast.
And I'm Jeremy Dove, co-host of the Bigger Than the Game podcast.
Jeremy and I have joined forces to create a new podcast called Pop Culture 5 to ask the question, what are the five essential things about any given pop culture topic?
It could be five essential movies by an actor of our choice.
Or five essential songs by a musician of our choice.
We're not making a list of our personal favorites, it's the essentials.
And we better do a good job of justifying our essentials, because one of us will have veto power each episode.
And I'm ready to tell Thomas why he's wrong.
All right, Jeremy, all right. Well, actually, why don't we give everyone an out-of-context peek at what we've been up to? So Pharrell was right next to me, and we looked at each other, and we were kind of like bobbing our heads. He wasn't wearing his hat. Nobody really knew he was kind of wearing. He was kind of incognito. But I had to do a double take. I'm like, that's Pharrell. And then he looked at me.
You just slipped that in there, big name drop here. I was next to my man Pharrell. I never heard this, everyone.
So join us to celebrate and discuss the essentials of pop culture.
Listen and subscribe to Pop Culture 5 wherever you get your podcast.
Hey, it's time to gather around the water cooler to talk the SNL Hall of Fame. Hey, it's JD here, and I just want to welcome you back to the SNL Hall of Fame. I am inside, and I'm walking down the hallway right now. Hello, Matt. As I walk down the stairs into the lunchroom where we keep the water cooler, and looky here, my friends Joe and Shari are already gathered around the water cooler, as it were. So, Shari, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. Got my water here at the water cooler, drinking up, glug, glug.
Joe, are you glugging some glug?
You caught me in the middle of between one glug and another glug. So,
oh boy,
yes, ready to go.
A glug sandwich.
Yes.
Well, today we are talking about Kevin Nealon, and he's interesting to me because he relates to when I got into the show. I think he was the first featured player to be a featured player in my time with the show. And that's how I'll always sort of think of him, taking that shot at the pool table and during the opening credits. That's just sort of where my head is with him. Shari, this week's episode, we had Andrew Haynes on from the SNN Superfans, and he and Bill Kenny, our chief conversationalist, had a terrific conversation. I'm wondering if you want to run that down for us.
Yes, indeed. And I, as usual, am a fan of both from the Saturday Night Network, where Bill kind of got his start, and got to start doing a lot of super fan takeovers with Andrew, where they do things like dream casts and dream episodes. So I was pretty familiar with Haynes, and he did a fantastic job along with Bill breaking down the career of Mr. Nealon. They went through characters that I had sort of forgotten about. They went through bits that I had sort of about, sketches that Kevin was in that I had sort of forgotten about. And of course, his time on the update desk and how crucial he was to that time in between Dennis and Norm, two of the giants, and how Kevin sort of found his place, sort of quietly, a little more subtly, different approach than either one of them, and sealed his place in Saturday Night Live. And they both agreed in the Hall of Fame, and I agree with them. So it was an excellent episode and really fun to go back in time.
One of the things that I mentioned, thanks, Shari. One of the things that I mentioned in the episode was that I hope it's not punitive that this is the seventh and final season. I'd like to see him get in. I'd like to see Kevin Nealon get in. I'm wondering, Joe, if you have anybody in mind who's already in the Hall of Fame who might have a similar pathway to the Hall that Kevin Nealon, you know, could potentially have, or do you think he's doomed as well?
No, I think he's well known enough to get some votes. It depends. I'm going to be honest. It depends on what the competition is. Already we got Chevy. So that's serious competition right there. But, as far as people that are, already in, Norm, I feel is very similar because obviously they both hosted Update, but, as we'll get into it, both, at least as I feel, they were always kind of like the bridesmaids, never the bride. They were always in someone else's sketch. They were either the straight man, or maybe they did do an impression, but it wasn't like they were well known. Like, they're mainly known for doing that impression, or maybe they are, but that's mainly, in other words, like, they're usually the straight man. They never really had a character of their own. Stuff like that. But, like, their Update is mainly what they're known for, you know, and if they're going to get in, it's because of Update. And that's why I feel like Norm and Kevin are similar, is, you know, because of that.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that for sure. And Nealon adds, you know, adds another dimension with his characters and sketch work as well, right? He's not only got the new the Update, but he's got those other things. Shari, anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, I think Norm is a good selection by Joe, but I was also thinking, and Andrew actually mentioned, he compared him to two different other Update anchors, one who is in the Hall of Fame and one who is on the nomination ballot. And the one that's in the Hall of Fame already, Dan Aykroyd, he compared him to Dan in that they both had a sort of fast-talking, very dry approach, very subtle with the jokes, and that they were kind of similar. Kind of said Nealon was sort of the Dan Aykroyd of his time in some ways, with that kind of fast talking, sort of, you know, that delivery that he had.
Deadpan,
rat-a-tat-tat.
That deadpan pitch man delivery. Yeah. Like Mr. Subliminal, sort of similar to Erwin Mainway, kind of, if you really listen to them back to back. So, yeah, so that's my pick for someone who's already in the Hall.
I agree.
Yeah, I can't argue with that either. Aykroyd, interesting. I mean, they both are tall as well. Mm-hmm. Like, that's sort of interesting. It's got to be hard, you know, and similar to Aykroyd, he had like tour de forces working beside him, Nealon with Dana Carvey and Jen Hooks and Bill Hartman and John Lovitz, et cetera, et cetera. And Aykroyd with Belushi and Gilda, et cetera. So some really interesting comparisons there. Joe, what's up?
Yeah, I feel like Kevin kind of got lost in his cast. Oh. Like, when he was a part of that second golden age in the late 80s. So he had, you know, Mike, Dana, Phil, Jan. Right. And then the thing is, he was there for a long time. And then, he just kind of got lost in there.
Wow.
And then I almost felt like during his second half of his tenure, he was at Update. And it was almost like, I don't know. I'm not saying it was too late because Tim Meadows had a good second half of his career. But, like, it was just like he was just regulated to just being the Update guy. Oh. Even though, like, because his, the cast in the second half of his tenure was Spade, Sandler, Schneider, Farley. Like Kevin could have came out and shined there, but for whatever reason, you know, he didn't have any new characters or he didn't do anything new the second half of his career once, you know, Dana and Phil left and Jan, you know what I'm saying? So he could have came out, but for whatever reason, he just stayed at Update and did an impression or two. So yeah, for I just felt like he just kind of got lost and then kind of stayed lost.
How do you feel about that, Shari? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I sort of do. I sort of do feel like, even watching the documentaries recently, which I know you've been able to see at least some of them, maybe, it was really interesting hearing Kevin speaking. And I think even he sort of felt like he was in this, I mean, everybody says it, in and golden era,
right,
as Seth Meyers would say. And I think he did kind of feel a little bit overshadowed a bit, but he made his way and he found his place. And like a lot of cast members, and I'm going to, if you don't mind, JD, I'm going to compare him to a few that are currently on the nomination ballot that I think also have been struggling. I see him along the lines of an Anna Gasteyer. And I see him along the lines of I was mentioning somebody also on the nominee ballot, a Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
Now, I know Chevy got a lot of attention at the beginning, but as years went by, because he was on such a short time, people sort of forgot about him. But now I feel like Neelan just was on fly in the wall. He's got a podcast. He's
back in the zeitgeist.
Getting out there. And people are remembering him. And now that he's been in the documentary, I think he's getting back. And Anna, same thing. She's been in commercials. She was on that American Auto not long ago. And I think people are starting to remember her too. Her numbers have been ticking up every year. So I hope that this is the season for all of them, because they all deserve to be in the Hall of Fame for one reason or another.
I agree. I think that whole second golden era cast should be in the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
But there's not a dud. There's not a dud among them. Wow. Yeah. I won't get into Victoria Jackson, but
we all know which one, but I agree with Shari, because here's the thing with Anna and Kevin is it feels like once the dust has settled and you kind of separate Kevin from the rest of the cast and you see all the, you know, stuff that he can do and everything that makes him, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. This guy is awesome too. Like, he's not just Franz. Yeah. He's not just Tarzan. He's not just the second half of a, you know, sketch. He's awesome on his own as Mr. Subliminal. You know, and then, like, if you see his stand-up, you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, this guy's awesome. You know, like, so when you see him on his own, and then you really fully appreciate him. You know, so that's where if you take away the, you know, other people that overshadowed him, you take them away and you see Kevin on his own, you're like, oh, here's a little gem.
Yeah, I would agree. Well, let's move on to the closing argument. At the end of every episode, our chief conversationalist will ask the guest to summarize their argument and put in one last word for the nominee. Let's give it a listen.
All right. So, Haynes, you've made some great points here. Kind of make your final case for Kevin here to get into the SNL Hall of Fame.
I think there's a few things. One, we talk about his ability to do something that not a lot of other people could do, and plenty of people can deadpan, but just not quite like him. I think, you know, he was a Weekend Update anchor for several years, which is a very prominent role on the show. I mean, we obviously love the sketches, you know, we're talking SNL, we're super fans, but to be front and center like that every week is a hugely important part of the show. And I go back to that longevity. You know, you said the kids don't understand nowadays. We're living in the era of people being on for a decade. But back in the day, this was a huge accomplishment. and had obviously had a major impact on the show. No one else to that point was influencing the show in such a consistent, regular way. I mean, he got to do it for 9 years. You know, Eddie Murphy made you laugh harder, maybe, but he's got his little special thing, and then he's out. Kevin Nealon was there, stable, and just providing, you know, an even hand for this comedy institution for so long. I really think the fact that he was, you know, a major Weekend Update anchor, and the fact that he had that giant tenure, the first person to have a tenure of that size, you can't ignore the impact he had on the show. And it's not even saying 10 years now, because we're in the age of 10 years, but 10 years, you know, when the show was only going into, you know, coming out of the teen years, you know, getting to year 20 and stuff, like he's meat on the bone during those years. And then going into the early 20s and stuff. So we're talking about a show that, you know, if it's been around for 10 years, this guy's been on, or 20 years, and this guy's been on for 9 of them, I don't think you can ignore that type of impact. And it's easy to forget when we're living in this age. We didn't grow up watching it every week, but that's a huge impact he had on the show. And I don't think we can ignore it. Hall of Famer. Easy vote.
Okay, so we've heard the closing argument, and I'm just curious if either of you guys would like to respond. We'll start with you, Joe.
Yeah, I feel like he is definitely well-known for doing Update. He did do it in the line of Chevy, like the way that it was supposed to be done, very deadpan, very newscaster-like. And it was you know, a good way to segue into Norm, who also did it extremely Chevy-like, you know, just deadpan, let the jokes do the work, you know, such, like, don't put any spin on it in the way that, like, which other great Update people have done, like Poehler and Myers. But he is really great at Update, and then his character and impressions are the second thing you should know him for. He really does deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Andrew talked a lot throughout, and Bill did as well, about Kevin's 10, was it almost 10 years on the show? And at that, now it doesn't sound like a long time now, as they both discussed, because, you know, Keenan, but and Daryl Hammond and Tim Meadows and several others. But at that time, Kevin was one of the first to stay that long. And Andrew really highlighted that a lot. He said that was a big deal. And he obviously was staying for a reason, because when people aren't happy, or Lauren's not happy with people, they go. We all know that. We've been watching this show a long time. We know how it works. But Kevin was there, and I think he was very well liked by the cast, which Andrew also mentions in his closing argument, that Kevin just got along well, and especially his relationship with Dana, which they were so close and did so many hilarious sketches together, and of course, Hans and Franz. And he talks about his unique sense of humor and his unique viewpoint and how he was a one-of-a-kind player, and he brought that to Weekend Update. And for that, he deserves to be in the SNL Hall of Fame. And I completely agree with everything Andrew said, 100%.
Oh, that's great. Well, we're going to slide on over. We're a little bit behind on our episode recaps, but we're doing this strategically because we're going to have some gaps with the anniversary episode and the weeks after it and the weeks before it. So we're going to try our best to talk about the documentaries. We're going to talk about a couple of the episodes, and we're going to maybe talk about our expectations for the anniversary special. So there's a lot of good things, but today we're going to cover the January 18th episode of SNL that was hosted by Dave Chappelle with the musical guest. Oh my gosh. I didn't write it down. And now it is not in my head. Who was
Glorilla.
It was Glorilla. Glorilla. Yes. Thank you so much. Well, folks, Shari, how about your Hall of Fame moments?
My Hall of Fame moments were, first of all, I love Chappelle. He definitely has you know, better episodes. This was, I think this was bouncing back from kind of a weaker episode. So I was pleased. And they let Chappelle do what Chappelle does, as all the podcasters say, you know, he wants to smoke on stage, let him smoke on stage. He doesn't want to do as many sketches, he doesn't have to. So that's about what I was expecting. But as far as my Hall of Fame moments, they were not Dave involving. They were all on the update desk. I thought the correspondents were on fire on the update desk. I'll review everybody's memory because that was a bit ago. Mr. Michael Longfellow. The dude is just, I mean, he comes on, and everybody is always talking about how he's like that silent little force that's sneaking on in. And again, talk about a deadpan sense of humor. And perfect one to talk, because he's very young, to talk about the TikTok ban. So funny, talking about how his life feels like it's ending because TikTok might go away. And I'm sorry, but I feel like a lot of people feel like that here in the US, JD. People are kind of freaking out about it. And I just think Longfellow gave a voice to all of that. And it was a very funny, very deadpan voice. So I love that. And then, of course, my girl, who jostes, she does those jost roasts in so many different forms. And this time, she's the original Nosferatu. And the makeup. We always talk about the amazing job that the SNL makeup department does. And they just, she looks just like in the movies. I mean, she's perfect with her nails, her slimy fingers, going over to Colin Jost. And, you know, Jost, you know, there's a reason why his last name rhymes with roast. He is just the perfect roast victim. And nobody does it better than Sarah. I mean, she just every time hits it out of the park. So two great correspondents on update, by far my favorite part of that episode.
It's so nice when you get both correspondents, if there's a night where there's two and they both hit it out of the park. Because sometimes it can be a drag on update when you get a correspondent that is, you know, not up to par.
Agreed.
So, Joe, do you have any Hall of Fame moments, or as you call them, bros?
Yes. I'm glad you remembered it, because I fill it in my notes. That's because I fill out my notes like a form now to make sure I don't forget anything. But I always put pro-con, so that's I didn't realize I was doing it until you pointed out that someone else noticed it, or, you know, it was weird that someone else noticed it. I didn't, but yeah, the pro. I got two pros. One is the obvious, and I didn't want to just go with the obvious, which is Chappelle's monologue, which is why you get Chappelle to host Saturday Night Live. You don't get Chappelle to host Saturday Night Live so he could do a character he did when he hosted the second time or something, like how you do with Tom Hanks or Alec Baldwin or something. You know, like, you get Chappelle for the monologue. You know, so obviously his monologue, and he made it his own. He didn't do the question and answer monologue. He didn't do the one where you go behind the stage or da da da. He came out and he did his stand up, which is why what we wanted him to do. And I didn't want to just select that as the pro, as a Hall of Fame moment. But so I also chose the evacuation sketch, which was a little all over the place. It was like, oh my even. God. I did not know what to expect from this, because, all right, I've been watching Saturday Night Live a long time, so even when you're watching a SNL sketch, you kind of, like, feel like you know what's going to come. Like, maybe someone will knock at the door, or maybe it'll be a funny prop, or blah, blah, blah. But seriously, I did not know where that sketch, it felt like it was off the rails, like, almost like they got outside writers or something. I was totally just, I'm literally on the edge of my seat laughing. I don't know, like, I mean that phrase in the sense that, like, when you're at the edge of your seat watching an action movie, like you're in suspense, you don't know where it's going to go next. And I felt like that, but, like, laughter, like, with it being funny, with it being so non sequitur and all over the place, where he's got all these hidden rooms and people, you know, living underneath the house, and he knows secret languages and had hidden money. And I literally did not know. I always thought that I was like, oh, this is the last show. This is the one that tops them all. This is the grand finale. This is, and then it just kept going and topping itself and topping itself. And And I felt like Chappelle is kind of like great for that because he's like, oh, calm down, you know, like doing that thing where he's like, don't you know, like that type of like, I feel like he did that in his stand up on Chappelle's show where he's just looking at people like where he's being the outrageous one, but he's looking at everyone else thinking that they're the crazy one. And that stuck in my head for a couple of days where I was just driving to work thinking about it and stuff like that. And that's what a good SNL sketch should do, is just stay with you. And everyone was rating it, and I, you know, it was great.
I agree. So frenetic, so fast paced, chop, chop, chop. Mm-hmm. Real great. Shari, a Hall of Shame moment.
Huh. Well, this was a while ago.
If there was
there one. Definitely was. I had to think about it for a minute because that was, again, a while ago and my memory is. And I've been watching so much old stuff. I've been watching season 11 and that's sort of more in my head right now. But talk about a strange season. But anyways, I think that the Hall of Shame moment is that very last, I think it was the last sketch with the balloon popping. I know it's a YouTube or not a YouTube thing. It's a TikTok thing. It's a something thing. I'm old. I don't keep up. All right. I'm not old, but I'm older. And I don't keep up with this stuff as well. But I had seen it. And I mean, I laughed a little. And I didn't think it was horrid. But, you know, it was an excuse to bring out Selkie and to bring out a couple of Chappelle characters. And it was kind of a throwaway bit. They had 2 minutes. But then I heard about some of the things that got cut. And I was like, dude, bummer.
Oh, no.
I just felt like, I know SNL is just reaching and trying to pull in that young audience as they are every season. But this felt very needy. It didn't feel genuine. It felt like they were going for the cheap click to get people to click, click, click. And so. Lot disappointing, especially for the last sketch of the night when you're looking for that like perfect 10-to-1 weirdness, and this just wasn't it.
Yes. Yeah, something that, you know, the last sketch, the 10-to-1, it does always have that weirdness, but or it doesn't always have that weirdness, but it has a tendency to have that sort of weirdness. But it also, you know, is important because it leaves you with a feeling for next week in a sort of way. You know, you're either going to go into next week feeling like, oh man, or I sounded like, oh man, holy cash. All right, Joe, we'll go to your Hall of Shame moment. Your con.
Okay. Now for that last bit. That's the last memory you have of Saturday Night Live before you go into the next week's episode. You're like, oh, last week was the balloon one. I wonder what they're going to do this week. So, I almost chose it. That was the first one that popped in my mind when I was about to choose my air quotes con. But I didn't want to be too hard on it because it felt, and I agree with Shari, it felt very throwaway. In other words, I felt like there was maybe a fuller, unedited version of this that was probably funnier. And I feel like the reveal of the Chappelle character was like, that was the joke. Like, oh, you got all these normal guys, and then you got the Chappelle character. That's the punchline or whatever. And if you would have done the unedited version, it could have been more build up and then, you know, the reveal. Instead, it felt very edited. And not just, and I know on the TikTok, it's supposed to be, like the person skimming through the video, you know, but still, it just felt very condensed, like a condensed version of a funnier sketch. So I didn't want to be too hard on it because of that. So instead, I chose that police sketch where, you know, a boyfriend is saying his girlfriend's missing. He's trying to describe her, but he's not trying to be too insulting. And you got like a janitor behind him trying to give him hints about how he should describe his girlfriend and stuff like that. And I felt like it was just too obvious, and the joke was repeated too many times. Like, he didn't want to, like, the boyfriend didn't want to put his girlfriend's weight on there, so he was trying to figure out a way around it. I don't know. It just felt very simple, very, you know, and maybe that should have been the 10-1 where you come out, you do the setup, and okay, now it's time to describe his girlfriend's weight, and he doesn't want to, and da-da-da, and then you just get it over. Yeah, I don't want to say get it over with, but you get to the punchline, and then you're done. And I felt like that would have been better, because once you get to the punchline, that's it. And there's nothing else, nowhere else to go other than redo the punchline about her looks or about her whatever. So, yeah, I kind of chose. But it's not a bad one, per se. It's just it felt like it maybe, you know, went on too long, which, you know, Saturday Night Live has been known to do. But and again, not bad, but just that's just my pick.
That's fine. Yeah, I would agree with you. It really, the show had a lot of momentum, and mm-hmm. it just sort of ground, like after update, it sort of ground down a little bit until, you know, until you got to that sketch that Shari was mentioning. That's how I felt anyway. Well, folks, is there any do you have any final thoughts on either Monday's episode of the SNL Hall of Fame or that episode of SNL with Chappelle hosting?
I think we got it all in there for me.
Right. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, Kevin. I really do feel like the people that like Kevin will vote for Kevin. You know, I mean, he is a great supporter, great update. You know, even though he never really, he did have a couple of characters on of his own. There's a Subliminal and No Depth Perception. It's kind of like, you know what? That's not his forte. Update is, and then he did that. And then it's also worth mentioning that he didn't do Update until he left. He let Norm do it, and then Kevin stayed a year, which is really rare. I don't know. I just felt like that was worth mentioning. Even though that last year that he was there, it was the 20th one, which I always mention is another weird year. But he really is a he really should have been a part of that second golden age. There's a reason why, like, he stuck around. Like, he wasn't just, you know, and Kevin Nealon, and he could have been there 2 years and then got cut, Siobhan Fallon, you know, and then just kind of moved on. That's my version of Mr. Subliminal. I don't know. I think it's great you do, too. But I do. I mean, I'm just saying. He, you know, really did his own to hold his place in the second Golden Cast. He might not have been the most well-known in it, but he held his own. And as far as the Chappelle Show, I mean, you said it. It kind of dipped down after Update, and it's worth mentioning Chappelle wasn't in the sketches after Update. So, just saying. Other than that, next week's episode, if you want to, I'm excited for that one too.
Yeah, next week we're welcoming our friend John Schneider to join us, and we're really excited because he's going to enlighten us on the careers of Bonnie and Terry Turner. So I'm really excited for that conversation. On behalf of Joe and Shari, it's time for them to get back to work, and myself as well. So we'll bid you adieu for another week. But remember, stay thirsty.
Thanks for listening to the SNL Hall of Fame Water Cooler. To connect with Joe and Shari, join our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/SNLHOF. To email the cast, write to snlhofwc@gmail.com. Please subscribe, share, rate, and review the show wherever you get your podcasts. Duvra. Podcasts and such.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Your old or broken phone can let you down when you need it most.
Perfect.
But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get the most for it, up to $2,000 in value, for an amazing new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence and a new line on my plan, and iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. That's like a 3-for-1. And you can get it on any plan. At Verizon, trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. The other guys won't give you that. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad. Up to $2,000 value based on iPhone, iPad, and Apple Watch.